Whether you know it or not, you have friends in heaven. Carlo Broussard is here to explain. Hello, and welcome again to Catholic Answers Focus. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Thank you so much for joining us. This time we welcome back our good friend and apologist extraordinaire, Carlo Broussard. Hi, Carlo.
Hey, Cy, that's quite the introduction, brother. Hopefully I can live up to those expectations. Extraordinaire?
Yeah, extraordinaire,
I mean,
right.
Come on, man.
But good friend is even higher than apologist extraordinaire.
Well, you know what, Cy? You're just such a great guy and an easy guy to get along with.
Yeah.
I can live up to that expectation and be a good friend to you, man.
But what we're going to talk about is good friends in very high places.
Amen to that.
Over the course of the next few foci, I think is the Italian plural of focus. or Focci. I should mention Carlo's book, his most recently published book is Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Got another book coming out in the fall that will be called Answering the Protestant Challenge.
That's the working title. They may tweak it a little bit. We'll see, but that's the working main title.
But it's actually a very respectful book in this sense that Protestant people, Protestant theologians, Protestant thinkers raise very serious intellectual objections to the Catholic faith, and we should respect that by answering those objections.
That's right, and those objections are intellectual in the sense that they're well thought out, but the objections or the challenges primarily that I meet in the book were biblical challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the old biblical challenge of where's that in the Bible, which we have a plethora of resources since the modern movement of apologetics started by our founder here at Catholic Answers, Carl Keating, in the late 80s, early 90s, right? We have a plethora of resources that address and meet that challenge. But ultimately, the Catholic is not required to meet that challenge because that challenge operates on the Protestant doctrine of sola scriptura, scripture alone, right?
Right.
You know, so, but the Catholic could simply respond and say, well, I don't buy that premise or that assumption, so I don't have to necessarily show that it's in the Bible in order to believe it as infallible as a Christian, because as a Catholic, hey, we got the magisterium who speaks on behalf of God, who can interpret not only what is in the written word of God, but also what is in sacred tradition, right? Now, it's great to meet that challenge, of course, in evangelistic right. endeavors, but the challenge that a Catholic is required to meet
okay.
is how can the Catholic Church teach X when the Bible says Y? So it's an alleged contradiction. You have your Catholic belief,
right.
and that belief, so the claim goes, contradicts this particular Bible passage. And that's a challenge that a Catholic must meet, because the Catholic believes that whatever we believe, right, whatever doctrine we assert and believe,
right.
at least cannot contradict sacred scripture, precisely because we believe it is the inspired word of God. And so I go through 50 Bible passages, common passages, that our Protestant friends will pose to us as showing a particular Catholic belief to contradict that passage.
Right. And so one of the things that we believe firmly in as Catholics is the intercession of the saints.
That's right.
That the saints are God's perfect friends now. They are perfected
Amen.
In God's friendship, and they are our friends. They don't.
Sure.
They haven't abandoned us in friendship, and they want to pray for us and help us and do things for us, just like good friends do.
And we believe it's appropriate for us to request
yeah.
their help and their prayers and intercessions.
All right. Well, let's start at that. We won't get all the way to yet. We won't get to the objections, but let's start with where is that in the Bible?
That's a good question, and
okay.
it's really good because we do have some positive evidence, but our Protestant friends actually have some counters
yeah.
to our appeal to this particular passage. There's multiple passages that we could go through, but the key text that we have often appealed to as Catholics in our tradition is Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, where St. John has his vision of what's going on in heaven. And he talks about the Lamb taking the scroll and the four living creatures and the 24 elders falling down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and with golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, close quote. So what John sees are 24 elders, which we as Catholics assert are human souls, who are offering up to the Lamb, the prayers of the saints in the form of incense. And this particular text just says there are bowls full of incense, which are the saints. But if you read the parallel passage, well, not a parallel passage, but another passage in Revelation, Revelation chapter 8, where John sees angels, or an angel, I'd have to look to see if it's plural or singular, but sees the angels doing a very similar role. And in that text, it says specifically that the incense, which are the prayers of the saints, are coming from the hands of the angel. And so if John sees the 24 elders doing a similar role, then we can infer and conclude that, you know, the prayers of the saints in the form of incense is coming from the hands of the 24 elders or the presbyters there. And so a Catholic looks to that and says, wow, John sees human souls in heaven offering up to Jesus the prayers of Christians on earth in the form of incense. And so that's our conclusion. And so we say, well, there's some biblical evidence that that's what the saints in heaven are doing for us. They're interceding for us. They're aware of our prayers and they're offering it up to the Lamb. And so it's reasonable to conclude that we can offer, make our requests known to them in a direct way, knowing that, according to this particular piece of Revelation here, this part of Revelation, that they're offering those requests to the Lamb on our behalf.
All right, well, then let's just start with not objections to the general idea of intercession with the saints, objections to this this passage
in
the Bible.
Right.
And I have some very good objections for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I have the reason I have them is, you gave them to me before the show. Okay, so...
Yeah, so some counters, right? Yeah, some counters that our Protestant friends will have to our appeal to Revelation 5:8 as support for the intercession of the saints.
Okay, so counter number one, those saints' prayers that are going up like incense, that the word saints there doesn't refer to people on earth. It refers to saints in heaven.
That's a very good counter. And they'll appeal to like Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, where John describes there's a multitude of a heavenly host from all tribes and tongues and nations. And so some Protestants will say, well, that's the saints that John is seeing, or that's the saints that is referred to in Revelation 5:8. So how do we respond? Well, first of all, when the Bible uses the term saints, it's by far predominantly used for Christians on earth. Out of the 59 times that the term hagioi in Greek or saints is used in the New Testament, 13 of which is in the very same book, the book of Revelation, only once is the term saints used for Christians in heaven. And that's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, where St. Paul talks about how we share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So we have, at least on face value, good reason. We have good reason to naturally read this text as the saints referring to Christians on earth, because that's how the term is predominantly used in the New Testament.
And even that quote from St. Paul would seem to support that, because he uses a modifier, the saints in light,
to
specify a particular situation.
That's a good point, to distinguish those saints from the saints who participate in that inheritance of the saints in light. Very good point. Secondly, I would say that the Bible actually associates the prayers of the faithful on earth with incense. So, for example, in Psalm 141:2, we read, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before thee, and the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice." So if John sees the prayers of the saints being offered to the Lamb in the form of incense, and the Bible elsewhere refers to the prayers of faith of the faithful on earth through the imagery of incense, well, then it's reasonable to conclude that these prayers of the saints in Revelation 5:8 being offered in the form of incense refers to the prayers of Christians on earth. And then finally, one last way I think we can respond, Cy, is that this phrase, the prayers of the saints, this is very cool. The prayers of the saints, that phrase actually is found in Tobit chapter 12, verse 15. Now, granted, this is one of the books in the Catholic Old Testament that we consider inspired that our Protestant friends don't.
Okay.
But that's okay, because at least we can acknowledge it as historical.
Yeah.
And a phrase that's common within Jewish thought, right?
Yes.
Prayers of the saints. And what we read there is Raphael says, "I am one of the seven holy angels who," quote, "present the prayers of the saints and enter into the presence of the glory of the Holy One," close quote. Then in verse 12, he talks about how he brought the prayers of Tobit and Sarah as a reminder to the Holy One. So in Tobit 12:15, prayers of the saints is associated with prayers of the faithful on earth being presented to the Holy One in heaven by an angel. And when we come to Revelation 5:8, and given that Jewish tradition, and we read about prayers of the saints being presented to the Lamb in the heavenly realm, well, then it's natural to read those prayers of the saints as referring to prayers of God's faithful people on earth. Within the context of the New Testament, that would be the Christian people. And in fact, if we read Revelation 8, where it talks about an angel offering the prayers of the saints in the form of incense in the heavenly realm, it's very likely that angel that John sees and talks about in Revelation 8 is Tobit, Raphael from Tobit chapter 12, verse 15.
Okay, so even if I concede that, though, and this is counter number two to the quote from the book of the Revelation, even if I accept what you say about the saints, prayers doesn't mean petitions, it means praise.
And I would agree that prayer can mean praises, right? But it can also mean petitions. So first of all, let's just say for argument's sake that the term prayer here does refer to praises of Christians on earth. So you acknowledge that it involves Christians on earth, but you're just simply saying it's not petitions, it's praises.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, well, then this just reaffirms for sure that Christians, the praises of that Christians are involved here.
Yeah.
Because in Revelation 5:13, we read how every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea are all therein praising the Lamb.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, so for sure Christians are involved here. But here are some reasons why we can say that the prayers, even if I acknowledge that it can involve praises, it would also involve petitions. Number one, the term prayer in the Bible is most commonly used as a petition. Any biblical concordance will show this. You look up the term prayer, the majority of the cases it's used with regard to petitionary prayer and making requests, right? Mm-hmm. Secondly, the elders here, there's clues to suggest that the 24 elders are actually priests. And consequently, in as much as they are priests in the heavenly realm, they're engaging in intercessory prayer. So they're offering petition. So that they are priests, we know the number 24 calls to mind the 24 divisions of the Levitical priests in 1 Chronicles chapters 24 through 25 in the Old Testament. The fact that they're offering incense, that was a priestly duty, according to Exodus chapter 30, verse 1, and Numbers chapter 7, and Numbers chapter 16, and those chapters, we find this. And the implication is that priests act on behalf of men in relation to God. That's what the author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 5:1. Well, how do Christians relate to God? St. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, let your requests be made known to God. So if Christians relate to God by making their requests known to God, and these priests who are supposed to act on behalf of people in relation to God, offering up prayers of the saints, well, then it's reasonable to conclude that they would be offering to the Lamb the petitions of the Christians on earth, because that's how they relate to God. And priests act on behalf of men in relation to God. So these are some reasons why we conclude that the prayers would involve petitions as well. And finally, I would just go back to Tobit 12:15. Remember, Raphael offered the prayers of the saints to the Holy One, which involved petitions made by Tobit and Sarah. So if we read Revelation 5:8 in light of Tobit 12:15, and even if a Protestant doesn't accept it as inspired, it's still Jewish tradition, it's reasonable to conclude that the prayers of the saints, the Christians on earth, in Revelation 5:8 would also include petitions that the Christians on earth are offering, which the 24 elders are taking on their behalf and bringing it to the Lamb in heaven.
Okay.
And so, by the way, I want to just make one note here. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I actually have an online article at Catholic.com that our listeners can check out where I spell this out in detail and respond to these counters to our appeal to Revelation 5:8 and an article entitled Defending the Prayers of the Saints, the two counters that we've just gone over.
Okay. Defending
the Prayers of the Saints. I address those two counters in that article.
Okay. So, One thing I would think that would be very comforting then to the earliest Christians who are in an uncomfortable position in the world. They're
Amen.
Getting thrown out of synagogues or
That's a good
their
point,
families.
Yeah.
And all the fact that it's not just, oh, your praises go up, but that, yeah, the saints in heaven are praying for you for the whatever you need.
That's correct.
It's
a source of comfort. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, but what about, you call it here the no counter. It doesn't say that they know or hear the prayers.
The no hear counter.
No hear counter,
right.
Yeah.
So the idea is like, okay, well, maybe these are petitions. Maybe these are petitions from Christians on earth. But the text says nothing about these 24 elders actually hearing or cognitively knowing, right, being cognitively aware or knowing what the prayers are. And this is a counter that you'll find among some Protestant apologists online and whatnot. So two couple of ways I would respond. Number one, the presbyters are priests, and we already gave clues to suggest that, to substantiate that, who are interceding, right, for the Christians on earth. So it's reasonable to include that, to conclude that that would imply that they know that for which they are interceding for, that for right. which they are interceding.
Right.
I mean, if they have this active role of acting on behalf of men in relation to God, and these Christians make petitions to God, then it's reasonable to conclude they would know what those petitions are, which they're offering to the Lamb. Secondly, once again, the elders, these 24 elders, have just as active of a role as the angel in Revelation 8, verses 3 through 4, which I said earlier specifically and explicitly states that the prayers of the saints are being presented to the Lamb from the hand of the angel. So if the angel is doing what the 24 elders are doing, right,
yeah.
offering up the prayers of the saints in the form of incense, and the angel has this active role, which would imply he's aware of what those prayers are, then we can conclude that the 24 elders, in engaging in the same active role as the angel, well, then they would have knowledge of what these prayers are as well.
Yeah, I would say it seems kind of counterintuitive, this idea that, oh, I'll take your prayer to Jesus, but don't tell me what it is.
I don't know.
I have no
what
clue
it
what.
Is.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I suppose you could do that. Look, I have a serious situation. I don't want to talk about it. Could you pray for me?
Correct.
Right. But that's not the normal course
right.
of things. What about the still not justified counter? If we grant that the elders hear the prayers, it still doesn't justify us praying to the saints
yeah.
in heaven.
And this is a good counter here, you know?
Okay.
I mean, because as a Catholic, you know, we would appeal to Revelation 5:8, and we say, yeah, of course, it doesn't explicitly say that we need to make our request known to them, but we're sort of making a theological conclusion here based upon what is being revealed. That human souls in heaven, the blessed, are offering our prayers to the Lamb, including our petitions, well, then it's reasonable that we just make it explicit and make our requests known to them. But the counter is that the text doesn't say that. And this is one of the reasons why Protestants will say we're still not justified in making our requests known to them, because the passage lacks such instruction. So how do we respond to that? Well, if we follow that logic, Cy, we would have to say that we shouldn't ask the Holy Spirit to pray for us. Because St. Paul tells us in Romans 8, 26 through 27, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us,
yeah.
that he is interceding for us. But there's no instruction to make our requests known to him. So should we conclude from that we must not make our request known to him because it lacks instruction to do so?
Right.
Although we know he's interceding for us? Of course not, right? We need to make our prayers known to the Holy Spirit and have a relationship with him and make our request known to him. Similarly, with these 24 elders in Revelation 5:8, just because the text doesn't say, make your request known to these 24 elders, we can reasonably conclude, like we did for the Holy Spirit, that we can make our request known to these saints in heaven, knowing that they are interceding for us. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly.
And right. then secondly, I would just say it's reasonable to infer that we can request their intercession because they're Christians, Si, right? I mean, Paul requests the Christians in Rome to intercede for him in a very explicit way in Romans 15:30 through 31. So if Paul can make requests to other Christians to intercede for him. And of course, the Bible approves of Christian A requesting Christian B to intercede for Christian A.
Yeah.
Well, then the saints in heaven, aren't they Christians?
Yeah,
of course they are. They're actually
we're all in trouble
Amen.
Here.
Amen. They're more Christian than we are because they're perfected in charity.
Right.
So we can infer that we can make our requests known to these saints in heaven to intercede for us from the fact that they are Christians, because we can make our requests known to other Christians on earth. And if they are Christians in heaven, then it's reasonable to conclude that we can make our requests known to them as well.
Are there any account or anything else you want to cover? Because it feels like it's okay to read what's written in the book of Revelation about the intercession of the saints and say, yeah, that justifies us in the Catholic practice of asking for intercession for the saints.
There's one more piece here that I left out, and that is a Protestant may say, okay, well, Carlo, you're still not justified in making your request known to these saints in heaven because there's no evidence that the Christians did so.
Ah, okay.
There's no evidence in the text nor in the Bible that the early Christians actually take the initiative and make their requests or petitions known to the saints in light,
yeah,
to the saints in heaven. So how do we respond to this? Well, as I point out in the second part of my article dealing with this biblical text at Catholic.com entitled Intercession of the Saints Revealed, and I deal with these other counters, right? As I point out in the article, the absence of Christians taking the initiative to ask the saints in heaven to pray for them is to be expected because the practice wasn't emphasized in the first century. I mean, you got to remember, we're getting this revelation towards the end of the first century.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's true that the first century Christians and even the first century Jews would have had some knowledge of the deceased interceding for God's people on earth, because according to 2 Maccabees chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, we have explicit evidence, even if you don't accept this as inspired, Mr. Protestant guy, okay, right? My Protestant friend,
yeah,
right? Even if you don't accept it as inspired, it still is a window into the Jewish tradition. It's a historical document. And in that text that I just cited, we discover Jeremiah, who's dead, the prophet Jeremiah, prays for the people of Israel. He's a dead guy, interceding for the people of Israel. So the first century Jews and even the first century Christians, you know, the Jewish converts to Christianity, would have had an awareness that, well, according to that text, deceased people can intercede for us, right?
Yeah.
But they wouldn't have had the practice that we have because they're just getting this revelation at the end of the first century, and it would take some time to meditate upon that revelation and see the implications,
right,
of that revelation in order to eventually develop a practice of Christians taking the initiative to make their requests known to their perfected brothers and sisters in heaven for them to pray for them.
Carlo Broussard is our guest this time on Focus, and we're focusing on the intercession of the saints. Catholics believe the saints can pray for us and can help us. And I feel like you've answered the question, where is that in the Bible? There are probably ancillary passages,
sure,
we could go to, but the core thing is here in Revelation.
Indeed it is, yeah.
But what about we need to go on then to the harder challenge of, well, you say that the saints can intercede for you, but there's some problems with that with other passages in the Bible. So how can you say that if the Bible says this?
That's right.
And we'll do that next time.
Amen.
On Catholic Answers Focus. Thanks for joining us. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and if you could maybe subscribe to us on wherever you subscribe to podcasts, say at Apple iTunes, and then give us a little review there. Give us a little feedback, a thumbs up, whatever you got. That would help us to spread the news about Catholic Answers Focus.